Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal, page 12, Heidelberg Catechism, part 2, Man's Deliverance, Lord's Day 5, question and answers 12 through 15. Page 12. According to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment, both in this world and forever after. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? God requires that His justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of His justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. Can we pay this debt ourselves? Certainly not. Actually, we increase our guilt every day. Can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? No. To begin with, God will not punish another creature for man's guilt. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from it. What kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? He must be truly human and truly righteous, yet more powerful than all creatures. That is, he must also be true God. Now let us take our Bibles and turn in them first the New Testament, Mark 10, verse 45. It's found on page 1077 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark 10. The children, as we read Mark and then from Romans, see if you can pick up where he talks about Jesus being man and also Jesus being God. Mark 10, verse 45, people of God, hear now the very words of God. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And turning over to Romans 7, verse 24 and following, this is found on page 1200. In the Pew Bibles, Romans 7, verse 24 and following. We read this, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Thus far, our reading from God's holy word. Congregation, maybe you've heard stories of escapes or attempted escapes. I think of from the prison of Alcatraz out west, or maybe from a Nazi prisoner of war camp, or maybe escaping over the Berlin Wall to West Germany. Now, these are often stories that reflect on events that took months of planning, months of work, and then it happened. And then you had the outcome. Did they escape? Did they not? Were they recaptured? Sometimes they're daring escapes. They succeeded. Other times they didn't. Miserable failures. Well, what drove those people to seek escape, to work so hard toward it? What was that? Was the promise of freedom, wasn't it? Well, it's an even greater escape that is before us this evening. Escape from God's wrath. Escape from eternal punishment. Escape from death. Is there an escape? You know, we've talked about in these few Lord's days already our condition. Is there an escape here? Is there any hope? There is. There is hope. There is escape. There is salvation. But it doesn't come from fallen man. It comes from God from God through His Son, Jesus. As I proclaim to you this evening, only Jesus saves from the punishment we deserve. Only Jesus saves from the punishment we deserve. First, we consider a way of escape. A way of escape. The Bible's clear. Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And those wages, they're inescapable. They will be paid in full. And therefore, in ourselves, we have no hope because we are born sinners, corrupt from conception on. We are totally unable to do any good. We are inclined toward all evil by nature. That's what we've seen so far. Now, if this is where the Christian message ended, there would be no hope. There would be no church. After all, if this is all that can happen, if there's no hope of escape, of rescue, of salvation, then what does it matter to be told about it? What will change? What can change? But there is a way of escape from punishment. There is a way to return to God's favor. And as we've seen, it's not by arguing with God about His right to punish us. It's not by thinking, as we saw, we can somehow evade God's punishment. It's not by trying to cancel God's justice with His mercy. There is a way of escape, and it's to satisfy God's justice. The way of escape from eternal death that we deserve is to have the claims of God's justice paid in full. And that's the message of the Christian religion. A message sinful man needs to hear, not only 2,000 years ago, but now and for however long until Jesus comes again. This message is that it's not only possible, it's been accomplished. Now, mankind knows something is wrong in this world, with this world. Fallen man knows that. Now, he doesn't have the right idea of what's wrong, why it's wrong, and how very wrong things are. But he has a general sense of this. In fact, throughout the years, fallen man has come up with various religions that try to make sense of what is wrong. Various religions that try to say, here's the way to solve what's wrong. It's also the focus of philosophies of man. Nowadays, we have religions, more older religions, but nowadays, it's also often philosophies. Even if they claim not to be religious, like Marxism, nihilism. Deep issues, deep questions, which drive the institutions of our culture to deal with a fundamental problem. Look at all the mob violence that's going on out there. And you will find at its heart is real thinking there's something wrong, but being in error about what's wrong and how to fix it. Again, man's religions are false concerning what's truly wrong, as well as the true solution for those wrongs. And they do that because man's religions, the mob violence around us, where do they come from but from man? They're seeking salvation from man. Our ideas of the problem, our ideas of the solution, we can do it. But Christianity, unique among what man calls religion, Christianity is not something that comes from man. Christianity is not grassroots up, it's God down. Christianity is what God has revealed about man's problem, about the solution that God has made, that escape He has brought about. Now, young adults, maybe in high school, maybe in college, maybe on your own, you have studied or you will study the different religions out there in the world, the different philosophies. Well, be aware that fallen man puts Christianity as just one of several. But it's really not. Fallen man, secular man, thinks that Christianity is no different than Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, modern day Judaism, whatever else, ism. Christianity is divinely revealed. And so realize that in your courses, your study, sinful man fundamentally misunderstands, disbelieves what Christianity is, truth revealed from God. God has revealed to us what our problem is. And God has also revealed the way of escape for man, for all men, regardless of where he or she lives, regardless of what religion we're born into or raised in. There is a way of escape. It's the Son of God. It is Jesus. Only Jesus saves from the punishment we deserve. And the way of escape comes in that Jesus satisfied God's justice. He paid in full the claims of God's justice against us. We read from Mark chapter 10, where Jesus, referring to himself as the Son of Man, said he came to give his life as a ransom for many. That word ransom, it's a word that speaks of payment, of exchange. A ransom, children, a ransom is a payment. It's a payment of a demand, a debt, perhaps. A ransom is not the exact thing as that which is released, but it's valued the same or better. And so the Son of Man is not the exact same one or ones as we who are released from punishment, but he does what is valued the same, or even better, actually, as what God requires. Justice is satisfied. That's what that wonderful word ransom conveys. And we see even with this, Jesus saying the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom of men, for many. Yes, he came to teach, he came to heal, he came to do all sorts of things, but the heart of it is this ransom. We can't lose sight of that and not make Christianity into some social justice type movement or social gospel. It's a ransom, true justice, God's justice against our sin. Notice Jesus there in Mark 10 did not say the Son of Man came to cancel God's justice, to change God's law, to do anything that mankind thinks could happen to solve the problem. Jesus said quite simply, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's Christianity in a nutshell right there. The way of escape, a ransom. God's justice satisfied. The price paid. As we consider this idea, this teaching, that Jesus is a ransom for us, we move in our second point to consider that with satisfying God's justice, it's not we who do it. That we cannot save. We cannot save. So why did the Son of Man come? Well, it was not to lord it over the nations. Jesus himself said he did not come to be served, but to serve. Why did the Son of God come to earth, take upon himself our nature, and in that nature fulfill all righteousness by suffering and dying on Golgotha's cross, suffering God's wrath against sin? Was it simply because of something we could do but chose not to do? Was it simply to demonstrate or prove something about God or about man? Why did God the Son become man and then suffer and die? Because we couldn't save ourselves. The way of escape is to satisfy God's justice, but you and I, no mere man is able to do that. Here again is where the religions of man get it wrong. Every religion of man deals with what you are to do, how you are to act, how you are to live, what pilgrimages you are to go on, how you are to bring about heaven, or you don't phrase it all that way, some phrase it just non-existence, be coming back to the one, whatever its heaven is, its goal. Bring it about for yourself. Look at them all. They're all about that. It's like we saw in our Genesis series, the Tower of Babel. Man builds it to go up. That's man's religion. What man can do. That doesn't matter if it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, modern day Judaism. It doesn't matter if it's the atheistic philosophies out there with Marx and communism or Nietzsche nihilism. It doesn't matter about the social gospel proclaimed in many so-called churches in our age. Riots, that too. And many put their hope in the next election. We the people can do this. It's all about what man can do to solve the problem. But if man could solve the problem, if you could save yourself, rescue yourself, there is no reason for the Son of God to come down. The Son of God to suffer and die on the cross. For God to send his beloved Son to this earth to suffer the torments of hell, there would be no other reason. The way of escape from God's wrath, from this punishment, the way to return to God's favor is to satisfy God's justice. But you and I, no mere human, can do that. Are we at a dead end? Just as it's impossible to do what God requires of us, to keep his law perfectly, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Is it just as impossible to satisfy God's justice, to escape God's wrath? Yes, it is for us personally. It is impossible. No self-help will ever help that. Consider again what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 7, verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, the Apostle Paul looked outside of himself. He looked for a Savior elsewhere. Someone to reach down to him, to rescue him. Salvation cannot arise from ourselves. Salvation, true rescue, can only come from outside. And that's reflected in how we worship. Focused on the Word of God, the preaching, this good news, the sacraments, not what I have done, but what God promises, signs and seals of His gospel promise. I see this throughout our life experience. We've got some who are first responders in our church. When there's an accident, someone's trapped. What do? We call the police, don't we? We call the fire department. We call paramedics. We call someone not involved in the accident, not trapped, not pinned, to come and rescue. When we're sick, when we need surgery, we don't just sit in our homes and just meditate and heal ourselves. Go to a doctor, a surgeon, medicine. Rescue comes from outside. That's why the Son of Man came, as we read in Mark 10, to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. We cannot free ourselves. We cannot pay the debt we owe to God's justice ourselves. In fact, as we say in the Catechism, we increase our guilt every day. Increase it. Look at what the apostle wrote in Romans 7 there. He wrote this as an apostle. If after he was regenerated, converted to God, forgiven of his sins, if he still struggled, such that he cried out, "Wretched man that I am," how could he rescue himself? Even if God could somehow take us and clear our previous sins and set us upright right there, we still couldn't keep the law as he required. We increase our guilt every day. How much more then, before the Holy Spirit of God regenerates a person? Fallen man cannot save himself. Now, let's be clear about what God's Word teaches. You and I cannot pay our debt ourselves. In fact, we increase it every day. And this fact, it's been obvious from the beginning. It was made clear to Adam and Eve, although not as clear to us, not as fulsome to us. But God came to them, didn't he? He made the promise, not of Adam, not of Eve, but the seed of the woman. He made loincloths for them, even when they ran away from God. Nothing they did rescued them. Several religions of man recognize that there's something we can't do this justice. But then look where those religions go. Again, they go to man, but in a different form. They go to the creation. We move to that in our next point, that no mere creature can save us. No mere creature can save us. So man's religion looked to man for salvation, but sometimes that's still in what man does with a different creature. Now, we think of those religions where there are animal sacrifices. Our society recoils, rightfully so in one sense, barbaric, primitive, that blood sacrifice of an animal. But those religions at least recognize We can't do it ourselves. We need something else. But again, the question comes, if there could be any other Savior, any other way of rescue than the Son of God coming to earth to suffer and die? If an animal could satisfy God's justice against our sins, why would God send his beloved Son? The coming of the Son of God is proof no other creature can save us. And what did Jesus say in Mark 10? The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. What did Paul write in Romans 8, verse 3? God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, Jesus lived almost 2,000 years after God gave the law to Moses. Not quite, 1,500 or so, depending on how you age things. But a law, that law to Moses, many rules for animal sacrifices. And Jesus lived thousands of years after God's people began offering sacrifices before Moses' time. We read about Abel, didn't we? Read about Noah after the flood. Animal sacrifices, ceremonial rules, they've been going on for so many thousands of years by the time Jesus walked the earth. And yet God saw fit to send his Son. After millions, we can suppose, reasonable to suppose, millions of animals were sacrificed, sacrificially slain. Why? Because not one and not all of those animal sacrifices could pay that debt for us. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. That's why he came. Why couldn't anything else work? Because as the Catechism rightly says, God will not punish another creature for man's guilt. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 10, the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom. Throughout his ministry, you read through the gospel accounts, Jesus referred to himself again and again as the Son of Man. Now that's a title that calls attention to humility, also to honor, but very clearly to his manhood, his humanity. Why then did God command all those animal sacrifices to be made? Did the saints, were they to think that the animal sacrifices satisfied God's justice? No, they wouldn't think that. God commanded them to be made to make a point, to point ahead to Jesus, that someone more is needed. He will come. There's a great need for sacrifice. God himself, as he said to Abraham, God himself will provide the lamb. Abraham said that to Isaac. The blood of all those lambs, the blood of all those bulls and goats and rams, all the blood shed when Hebrew males were circumcised on the eighth day, it all pointed forward to Christ. The whole old covenant pointed to Christ. Those who think that God has a special place in his heart for Israel or the land of Canaan or the ceremonies of the old covenant yet today, they miss that Jesus was always the focus. Jesus was always the fulfillment of all the sacrifices, of all the ceremonies, of all the institutions, all the old covenant was centered on Jesus. But even if another creature was permitted to take man's punishment, could it bear it? Could it? If you had to sacrifice yourself, if you had to end your earthly life hoping that by that you could pay for your sin or someone else's sin and be received into heaven, would that work? No. You're human. Well, you're willing to die as a sacrifice, but does that satisfy God's justice? Well, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from us. No mere creature can. Think back again to our Genesis series, Adam and Eve in the garden. Paradise, we heard this morning. After Eve sinned, but before Adam did, that moment there, could Adam have rescued Eve? Well, God didn't make Adam to rescue Eve like that. God did not create Adam to die as a sacrifice. Adam, man, other creatures were created living. And what was the blessing? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. There's nothing in it about dying as a sacrifice. God did not charge Adam with shedding his lifeblood to rescue Eve or someone else. No mere creature could do that. No mere creature can provide a way of escape, the only way of escape that's available to sinners. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 3, God has done what the law which included animal sacrifices, the law which included the way of perfection, the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. God must do it. No mere creatures. A way of escape exists, but we can't do it. And no other mere creature. But there is one who has. And that's, as we know, is Jesus, the Son of God. That's what we move to in our fourth point. God incarnate saves. Only Jesus saves from the punishment we deserve. Why? Because he's the Son of Man and the Son of God. Now, this evening we read both of those, didn't we? Children, you remember? There in Mark 10, Jesus said the Son of Man. And there in Romans, he talked about God did by sending his own Son. Mark 10, talking about himself as the Son of Man, Jesus willingly says, calls himself one of us. He's like you. He's like me. He's human. And therefore, he can pay for the guilt man has acquired. He's human. He's gone through trials and temptations. But he never gave in. And then the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verse 3, speaks of God's Son. That means he's not a mere creature. He's God. Therefore, he can endure any measure of suffering. Any suffering he endures is of infinite value because of the greatness of his person. Not a mere creature, but the Son of God himself. The ransom the Son of Man makes is of infinite value because he's the Son of God. Again, Romans 8, verse 3. God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Why? In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's the heart of the Christian religion, this ransom. The Son of God, the Son of Man. The type of rescuer, savior, deliverer, mediator must be truly human, truly righteous, not a sinner like us, yet more powerful than all creatures. He must be God. And it's that deliverer that the Christian faith proclaims, that I proclaim to you this evening and every week. It's Jesus. This way of escape, returning to God's favor, satisfying God's justice. But you and I, no mere creature can do it. God's Son has come. Now, these are questions not only for theologians, not only for, well, people who are bookish, but it gets at the heart of Christianity. Why are you a Christian, congregation? Why do you claim to be a Christian? Simply because the Bible is true? Well, it is true, yes. But why is it so important that the Bible is true? So that you can obey the law and earn for yourself life? Are you a Christian merely because the Bible makes clear what God's what man's origins are, what man's destiny is? Well, it does teach that. But what significance, what importance that these things are true? Are you a Christian because the moral teachings of Christianity are the best of any religion? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that is true. The morality God teaches in the Bible is pure. It is good. It is undefiled. It's perfect. But of what use would the moral teaching be for you and for me if in the final judgment, when you stand before God's throne, We must answer to God for why we failed to live up to this. What would it profit us? What would it profit you to gain all the teaching in the world, but lose your soul? This fits together. These truths, like spokes in a wheel, with the center being God's work in Christ. That's salvation. Reject Jesus as the Son of God, as the Son of Man. Go to some other religion, and one is lost. Refuse to acknowledge the bloody, suffering sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and there's no use for any shell of Christian religion. And look in the history of our own country, and whole denominations fell away, wanted to retain the title of Christian, still do, but they give up this heart of it, this bloody sacrifice of the Son of God. There's no use for the Christian faith otherwise. Believe in Jesus. Entrust yourself to Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, crucified for sin, dead, buried, risen, reigning, coming again. And through faith in Him who shed His blood, you will be saved. Not because of anything we've done, but what Christ has done simply through trusting in Him, crying out, Lord, save me. God forgives the sins, all the sins of all those who trust in Jesus, because Jesus has satisfied God's wrath by His suffering and death. Believing this and living out of this faith marks you off from your unbelieving family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. It marks you off from all those who claim to be Christian but don't have the cross of Christ as central. Instead, they have their experience or something else. Why? Because you don't have to doubt if you're saved. You don't have to wonder. When everything's going right from an earthly perspective, when everything's going wrong from an earthly perspective, your only comfort is that you belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to Jesus. It's not your works. It's not coming to church. It's not your being kind to others. It's not trying to be a good person. It's not also your sins and failures. You're focused on Jesus. You're looking outside of yourself. That's what faith does. It doesn't look in and turn inward. It looks out to Christ. It looks out beyond what you're feeling, beyond what you're experiencing. Oh, we experience, we feel. But that's not where our anchor and our hope is. But there's your hope. There's your faith. It's in Jesus, what He has done. And only He could do. He's your substitute. He's your Savior. He provided the ransom. Salvation has come from outside this creation into this creation by the Son of God, Jesus, who is also the Son of Man. And so when God gives you an opportunity to explain why you have that comfort, that ballast, seize it. Make the most of it. God's given you an opportunity to evangelize. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus on anything you do, because your faith isn't there. Don't focus on the events around you, because your faith isn't there. Tell them plainly and clearly about Jesus, because that's where your faith is. Jesus didn't have to die to save Himself, to prove anything about Himself. Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Keep believing that, congregation. And believing, have life, eternal life, escape, deliverance, salvation. Marvel at God's grace. Marvel at God's goodness. This wonderful mystery. Praise God for Jesus, for only Jesus saves us from the punishment we deserve. And truly, He saves all those who belong to Him, all those who trust in Him. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we hear so many voices around us. So many people seem to be living such nice lives following other religions. We see such strife around us. We see such anger and violence and mob rule in certain places, saying, if only man could do it this way. Lord, You have given the Savior, That's Jesus. Give us clear sight, clear, strong, increasing faith in Him, to lay hold of Him, to find in Him, and always find in Him all that we need. May we go forth to a, not just a dying world, but a dead world, hopeless world, to tell about Jesus. Lord, give us those opportunities. Give us that courage. Focus us. Strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.